Good to be back with you again. And if you didn't get an outline, they're laying on the pew in the back. If you want to pick one of those up later. You know, it's hard to believe that the end of the year is here. And I don't know whether in your life that you run into many people and folks beginning to talk and say, where did the year go? And all that has taken place, and begin looking and thinking about as the year has passed and the many things that has happened in the past year, and my communicating with individuals and many of those folks as they looked at the past year and they talk about the different things that have happened in our nation, and as they have looked at the news and seen the many acts of violence. And many of them share that it seems like it's on an increase, and some would say that there's a rising in the anger and the hate in the lives of people, and there are those who reflect upon, well, there's getting to be somewhat of a disregard for the preciousness of life and the vitality of life and the regard for life of the human. And as we look back and talking to individuals, and they think about the South Carolina tragedy that brought the situation really to the forefront earlier in the year, and again, there's many people who began discussing with opinions and in questioning what needs to be done. And what can Americans do today, and the controversy with arms and with the attitudes and much that has happened. And some feel America needs to begin to talk about why they're angry and what are they looking for. And the tragedy that is happening in America didn't just happen overnight. It is a subtle, slow moving away from God and from godly values. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, kind of tells us the way man goes many times. And just listen as I read here. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do not do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So as we look, we see all that takes place in life, and so often we look and we see that it is a subtle moving away from God and godly values that we see taking place in our country. And as that tragedy takes place, but yet there is great hope for those that will turn to God and not man for the answer to the situations that we face today, that individuals face within their life, that as we look and we see, there's a great hope that you and I can carry to them as we look and think about facing the situations in our day. And I'm always reminded as the Gospels were written, and in that time as Christ came as a babe in a manger, to look back and to understand history and to think about, there was 400 years of darkness that the sense of God's moving was gone. And yet we see the great hope that came, and as we look at John chapter 1, verses 35 through 40, we begin seeing that gives us a direction to understand, to help those that are searching for answers in life. Notice what John says in verse 35 down through 40. It says, "Again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples," speaking of John the Baptist, "as he was ministering. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'Teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." So as we see here, and we begin to get the understanding that as John the Baptist was proclaiming the good news, proclaiming that which was would lay ahead, that would touch the life of mankind. And we see in this aspect of, we begin to understand Andrew's experience. His experience was very simple. It was somewhat like the experiences of many who have come to Christ. First thing we notice is Andrew, it says he stood where preaching was done. We note that word as that word stood, that is in John 1:35. We see that as that standing there, John was holding his campaign out around the Jordan River. as he was preaching and proclaiming the gospel. And as he was preaching, Andrew, who was had a hunger or an ache for the word, searching for truth and being sensitive to God's word, looking forward, he became interested in what was happening. And we see that as he was interested and as he heard, he was attentive to what was being said in that time of meeting. And during some period of time, as he heard John speaking, he became a follower of John, seeking the righteousness that John was preaching of. The point to see is that Andrew hungered for righteousness. And the point, as we see, is hunger, and therefore he opened himself, he availed himself to the opportunity of hearing the preaching of the word. He stood right in the midst of preaching. He was there to hear the message of the Messiah proclaimed. We notice that Andrew, he heard John speaking. You see that he was listening to the message, not allowing his mind to wander, to ramble off somewhere else. We've caught ourselves doing that at times, haven't we? As the message is being proclaimed, many times we'll allow our minds to wander. We see that he was alert. He was awake. And as he heard the announcement of the Messiah that came, he was ready. Note also the message: "Behold the Lamb of God." It was a message of the Messiah's sacrificial death. You think about as they went through the different periods of celebration in their worship. They knew and understood the Lamb of God, the sacrifices that took place. But we have to note that here it says that Andrew followed Jesus. This word "followed," in the Greek, it is an aorist tense that has the meaning of once for all act. When he heard the Lamb of God, he followed. And as Andrew was turning to Jesus, ready to make a commitment to him. That's what that following meant. He wanted to become a disciple of Jesus. And as we look at these two verses and three verses here, we begin to see it is the same basic steps that must be taken by each of us, and was taken by each of us as we came to Christ. A person first must stand where the word is preached. We look and we think about as that word is proclaimed, Christ himself is preached. It is through the word, the preaching of the cross, that the Spirit begins to use to draw an individual. A person must have a hunger that drives them to the preaching, a hunger that drives them to stay alert and awake to hear the word proclaimed. And then secondly, a person must hear the word. We look and we think about the announcement of the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. To know and understand that which one needs in their life is Christ. And then a person must make that commitment to follow Jesus. Jesus said over in John 8:12, as he spoke, he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 12:26, he says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So we look and we see this aspect, these three aspects that take place in the life of one who begins searching for Christ, that as you hear, and then as the response to that commitment to follow. And then we look and we think about two things that will cause a person to miss Christ. The first thing is not standing where Christ is preached. Standing elsewhere in the world, in self or in the flesh, standing in the midst of those who do not care for Christ, nor do they preach, they're not the preaching of the word. It is so important today to be connected with a Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God. And so many people today are in churches that aren't preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the tragedy is their lives are so shallow. And it's good as individuals will move through a community, and I'm always open for the opportunity as I talk to individuals and as they come into a community and are looking for a church, and you basically get to understand the type of church they're looking for and the particular aspects of their life and how they can connect. And it's good to know churches that preach the word so you can lead people in the right direction when they come into a community. We have the opportunity of sharing the good news and make sure that people get connected and to be able to search out for Bible teaching churches, which is great. And then we think about not hearing or allowing the word, or allowing our minds to wander, being somewhat sleepy-eyed, disinterested in the Word of God, not paying attention. Those two things will keep cause one to miss Christ by not standing where the Word is taught or hearing and allowing the mind to wander. We have to note the significant facts about John. Think about John as he was preaching. His message was Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't about the individual himself. It was about Christ himself he preached. His purpose was to point people, even his own followers, to Christ. He wanted people to be where they could receive and grow the most, that is in Christ. That which God desired to do within them and for them and through them. His spirit was filled with enormous humility. He was completely selfless. You know, it wasn't about him. It was about Christ. He pointed his own followers to Christ and encouraged them to follow him. Don't follow me, follow Christ. You see, that should be the same thing in our life, is to know and understand, he who is in me is greater than I or anything in this world. And that which comes from me should exalt and lift Christ, should lift and glorify God and not me. I don't look for accolades in my life. I desire that people would see Christ and that they would serve him mightily. But notice in verse 38, as it says, and we look here and we see it says, "Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" We think about Jesus as he was walking, he turns and he looks them face to face, eyeball to eyeball. In the looking, we see that his eagerness to open his arms and his willingness to bring change in their lives. And we see the second thing that he does is he asks them the very basic question in life. What do you seek? Basically asking, what do you want? What are you looking for? In this aspect of what do you seek, he's talking about whom do you seek? But he didn't say whom do you seek, but what do you seek? What are you after? What are you looking for? To think about what are you seeking after? Are you looking for meaning and purpose and significance in life? Are you looking for a religion of self-improvement or human development? Are you looking for a religion of rules and regulations and laws of righteousness? Fellowship and companionship, deliverance from trials and troubles and suffering, approval and acceptance of God, blessings from God, His care, His provision and security. But know what Andrew and his friend asked. Rabbi, where are you staying? They had never met Jesus before, and yet they called him master or teacher, acknowledging his position as their teacher. They were not asking a simple question of conversation by the side of the road. They were looking and asking to join him for a more intimate, quiet place to communicate with him in his home, to open and pour their very lives and their hearts out to him, to become, that he would become their teacher. They wanted him to meet the very needs of their heart, and to do such in a quiet confines of his dwelling. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You see, as the Holy Spirit begins working in the life of an individual and begins bringing circumstances maybe in a life that begins drawing and questioning and searching out for God, man does not search God in his own means and time. The search begins when the Spirit of God begins convicting the individual of where they're at, and they begin that search. We see that Jesus extended the invitation when he said, "Come and see." Now, this invitation, it was immediate. It was while Andrew and his friend were attracted to Jesus. They were invited to Jesus while they sensed their need. Jesus did not postpone their invite. He didn't say, "Let's do that next week," or "Let's meet during the lunch hour," or "Let me get back with you on that." He didn't leave him hanging. That response was immediate. "Come and see." In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we look, we see there was Andrew's great decision. We see that he came and he saw and he remained with Jesus. These are the three significant facts here. Jesus came to Jesus. Andrew came to Jesus. He accepted the invitation. He walked up to Jesus, and he walked along with him in order to see just where Jesus did stay. We need to note two critical points, and that first one is Andrew had to accept the invitation. And in accepting that invitation, then Andrew had to be willing to see where Jesus dwelt and to let Jesus lead him to his dwelling place. And that same thing takes place in the life of one who comes to Christ. As that invitation is given, there has to be that willingness to accept that invitation, and then the willingness to come and to see and to search out and to dwell with him. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." So as we see, Paul, as he writes here, he says, "Behold, now is the time to accept. And behold, now is the time of salvation." You see, when the message of the gospel is proclaimed and the Spirit of God moves on the heart of man, the time is now. And salvation is now. Right where that person is when God begins stirring that heart and convicting of a need of having Christ in one's life, that is the time. Not sometime later. The word "see" that we have here that is in the Greek, it was a promise, "you shall see." When Jesus said, "come and see," and he was talking about much more than just seeing the place where he laid his head down, where he lived. He was talking about seeing the truth and learning of him. Andrew was being assured if he would come, then he would most definitely see and learn the truth of life. The Lord guaranteed it. Come and see. As you connect, as you come, and as you see, you will see that which you need. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, as we look and we think about the great hope that we have received, to know and understand that darkness cannot cover up light. Light will shine out into the darkness of our community. It will shine out into the darkness of the world around us. Even as dark as it may seem at times, to know and understand the Lord Jesus Christ that lives and sustains you and I, that light will shine forth into the darkness that will draw men to him. But thirdly, we see Andrew and his friend. It said they remained with him. That is, by Jesus' side, in his presence, they received of him, and he met their very need as they came, as they seen. But we have to note one significant thing here. This confrontation, and as they confronted Jesus, we see that Jesus changed their lives forever. And you and I can attest to the life change that has taken place in our life. He changes our lives forever. How do we know that? You see that as John penned this, because he was the other person, the very hour was still remembered many years later. You see, Andrew and his friend committed their lives to Jesus. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the question is, what are you looking for in life? And my challenge to you is, turn to Jesus, for behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. We look and we think about continuing in a new year of looking toward Christ. Continue to walk with Him stronger in a new year. Continuing to allow Him to encourage us and to strengthen us as individuals and as a church. It may look dark and bleak around us, but He is the light that will shine out into the darkness, that will bring a hope to lives who need to know Him, who will strengthen us on an ongoing basis as we live out into a new year, as He desires to do a great work in us and through us. And how will they see Jesus if they don't see Him through us? And my prayer for each one of you and for this church as a body, that God would just take you and use you mightily to encourage one another within the body and to reach out and touch the lives who need to see Christ in our community. Let's pray. Father, again, I just thank You for Your love and Your grace that reaches down and touches mankind. And Father, those that are seeking You as You've shown them that they're walking in darkness, may they be stirred and convicted of a need of a Savior. May they see that great hope in Christ Jesus. Father, may as You would touch their lives as they come and respond to Your calling them, the invitation to come and see, that as they would come and see, that their lives would be transformed beyond anything they could comprehend. And Father, You know each heart here. You know each life. You know the very physical needs of individuals, and I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would just move fresh and that You would just minister to those needs. And Father, that as You minister to those needs and as we would see bodies being made whole again, that we would just give You praise. Father, there are those that are dealing with spiritual needs as they struggle in this life. I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would undergird them and strengthen them. May Your Word come alive as they would study Your Word. And Father, as the body of Christ gathers here to study Your Word and to spend time in Bible study, and that You would just allow that Word to come alive. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, living out life, encourage one another. Father, may You just empower them and strengthen them. Lord, we think of this church. May it be a lighthouse that shines out across this community and into the darkness that is around, and that it would be a ray of hope to those who have no hope. And Father, as individuals that come to know Christ, this would be a greenhouse to grow and nurture lives. And Father, we think of the children that come, and the parents, that they would be encouraged and strengthened in this new year. And Lord, as Pastor Danny comes on scene, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just move fresh in his life and the life of this church. May they allow your Spirit to just bond them, and that they would move forward in a new, fresh way. And Father, that your Holy Spirit would come alive in this place. Lord, as we go to our respective homes this evening, I just pray that you would give us a good night's rest. Guide us through the rest of this year into a new year. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.